ministers to us. Sometimes I don't realize how much singing does for us, but it does help us and ministers to us. I'm going to be here this evening and see everybody. Looks like the rain has cleared off for now. It's got the sun shining out there, and so thank the Lord that He's given us a little bit of moisture. I'm going to be in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to continue in our study of the book of 1 John. I'm going to look at verses 4 to 10. 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 to 10. And before we do that, let's ask the Lord to bless the reading of His Word. Heavenly Father, we come to You this evening, Lord, and we are thankful. Come to You with thankful hearts, and Lord, just thank You for Your grace and Your mercy towards us. Lord, I pray that You'd be with us this evening as we look into Your Word. Thank You for what we've already experienced. I pray that You'd give me the words to speak. Help me to say things that are needful and edifying, that would build people up and that would strengthen them in the faith. I pray that You'd speak to hearts as they receive the Word. I pray that the seed of the Word of God would fall upon good ground, that You would give us some fruit for our labors because of the preaching of Your Word, and that we'd be drawn closer to You, that we would exalt and magnify our Savior Jesus Christ as much as humanly possible. Thank You for it, Lord. We love You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, read verses 4 to 10 this evening. John says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For the law is the for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in sin, in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." You notice there he ends up his statements with, "neither he that loveth not his brother," which is a summation of the law that he first mentioned in verse number 4 about transgressing the law. But this evening I'd like to speak to you on saying no to sin. Saying no to sin. That's what you and I must do if we are Christians. We must say no to sin. When I was growing up, probably in the late 80s and early 90s, there was a campaign going around. I think it was put out probably by the Reagan administration. It was on the war on drugs. And it was meant to try and discourage our youth from engaging in illegal drugs and ruining their lives, ruining their health. And it was meant to help them with escaping peer pressure of people trying to get other kids to take drugs. And it was Nancy Reagan, the wife of then President Ronald Reagan, and she championed the slogan, "Just Say No." Just say no. And the goal was to try to prevent the youth of America from getting hooked on drugs and ruining their lives and giving in to peer pressure and becoming another statistic of American society, becoming another drug addict, becoming a burden on society instead of being a help to society. And in order to prevent drug abuse, there had to be something that would be implanted in the heart and the mind of every young person, some kind of word in their mind that would stop them from taking drugs and getting on the drug bandwagon. And it was hoped that this slogan of "just say no" would come up in the minds of young people as they were offered drugs. I've heard that before. Just say no. Just say no. Don't do it. Don't give in to the peer pressure. Don't give in to taking that drug. Don't do it. The slogan first emerged there in 1982 when Nancy Reagan was visiting Longfellow Elementary School in Oakland, California. A young student came up to her and she asked her, she said, "What do I say if someone offers me drugs?" And she answered back, "Just say no. Just say no." You know, many times it's hard to say no. It's a lot easier sometimes to just go with the crowd, say, "Okay, give in, do it. I know it's wrong, but go ahead and do it anyway." But saying no ought to be the theme. Saying no to sin ought to be the theme of the Christian life. Just say no. I mean, it was Adam and Eve that should have said no in the Garden of Eden when they were offered going against God's word. She should have said no. She shouldn't have thought about it. Adam as well. I mean, it was David who should have said no when he was offered, or he saw that beautiful woman bathing and committed adultery with Bathsheba. He should have just said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to look on this. I'm not going to do it. Should have said no. It was Achan. Achan should have said no. Whenever he was offered to steal that Babylonian garment and that wedge of gold and silver and all of that, he should have said no, because then he would have spared his life and he would have spared the life of his family. Wouldn't have brought reproach upon the nation of Israel. He should have said no. And Christians, we have to say no to sin. We can't say yes. We have to say no. Having said that, I'd like to give you a reminder about the theme and the purpose of 1 John. Now, 1 John is written to tell us exactly what a Christian is. Trying to show us in a theological form exactly what a Christian is. It's supposed to show us the difference between a false Christian and a genuine Christian, Antichrist. We already read about that in chapter number 2. That's why 1 John was written. It was given to give true believers assurance of their salvation in an age of apostasy. I mean, there's people going away from the faith. We read in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life." So you can have assurance. And in John's day, they were confronting agnosticism or Gnosticism and dualism, and that was the flavor of John's day. And that Gnosticism and dualism is that the body really doesn't matter, just the soul matters. You can do whatever you want with your body. It's just the soul that matters on the inside. You know, we have a body, soul, and a spirit. We are a Trinitarian being. We're made up of three things. And in John's day, it was, well, sin doesn't really matter all that much. I mean, because sin's not going to affect your soul. It's only what you do with your outside, with your body. Not going to affect you. But can I tell you this morning that the problem is sin? The problem is what we do in our bodies. The problem is what we do. And it's always has been the problem. And it always will be the problem. That's the theme of Scripture, is sin is the problem. That's why Jesus Christ came. He came to take away our sin. And so why must we say no to sin? Why must we do that? Well, tonight I want to give you three reasons why Christians must say no to sin. Just say no. Well, the first thing is, it's against Jesus Christ. Sin is against our Savior Jesus Christ. It's diabolically opposed to Jesus Christ. We find that in verses 5 to 7. "And you know that He was manifested to take away our sin, and in Him is no sin." Jesus Christ didn't have any sin. "And He was manifested to take away our sin." That's why Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ appeared. God appeared in human form. He was manifested and we could see him in a bodily form, and the reason that he came was to take away our sin. That's why he came. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross. Jesus Christ came to be a bloody sacrifice for our sins. That's why he came. And the Bible says, in him was no sin. Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of God, but yet he died for sinners. And you and I must say no to sin because Jesus Christ is our Savior, and sin is against Jesus Christ, totally opposed to Jesus Christ, and he died to take away our sins. We can't say yes to sin. That's opposed to Jesus Christ. John uses similar language in John chapter 1, verse 29. Of course, it's John the Baptist. Says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus Christ came to take away our sins. He didn't come to enable us to be able to sin. I mean, we were already sinners, already doing it freely. He didn't come so he would make us feel good about being a sinner. No, he came to take away our sins. Well, taking away our sins, you can think of this in a couple of aspects. It's seen in a couple of ways. Usually when we think of Jesus Christ taking away our sins, usually what we think of is like Jesus Christ washing away our sins. Jesus Christ forgiving our sins and cleansing us and making us whole. Taking away the sin, it's like a judicial declaration from God. Look, this person is just because of his faith in Jesus Christ. I am calling this person just and clean and holy and pure in my sight. That's usually what we think of. We think of Jesus, but you think of being made whole. It's a judicial aspect of taking away sin, but taking away sin doesn't stop right there. That's not where it stops. It doesn't just stop at forgiveness in the judicial sense. No, it doesn't stop with God removing our sins in that way. John shows us a different way that he takes away sin. God takes away our sin by producing holiness and righteousness in the life of the child of God. He takes away our sin by abiding in Christ in the active sense. We talked about that last week. We abide in Christ in the passive sense. God put us there. But we abide in Christ in the active sense by living a holy and a righteous life. And that's the way that he takes away our sin. And that's what this whole passage is about here. It's about not sinning. You can't sin. Don't sin. I mean, I know that we do, but it's all about Jesus Christ taking the sin out of your life and making us holy right now in the year 2020 as you live in your body, in your house, that way. Taking away sin. Now, he's not talking about sinless perfection. We know that, but I'm going to keep on emphasizing it. Because it's not talking about that. He says, sinneth not. Sinneth not. What does he mean by sinneth not? He means that we don't go around sinning continually on a regular basis without any repentance or remorse. That's the kind of sin he's talking about. Sin does not characterize the life of a believer. It shouldn't. We aren't in continual rebellion against the law and the word of God. It does not characterize a Christian's life. That's what he's saying here in these verses. And Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. Amen. So we don't go around living in sin all of the time. It is not a habitual practice that we do. You and I must say no to sin because it is against Jesus Christ. We must say no. Charles Spurgeon said, "If Christ has died for me, I cannot trifle with the evil that killed my best friend." He says, "I can't trifle with that kind of sin. That's what put Jesus Christ on the cross." The reason we have to say no to sin is because it is against our Savior. It is against who we follow. He was sinless, totally righteous, totally holy. It is completely opposite of Jesus Christ. Do you know that all of those who met Jesus Christ in the Bible saw themselves as sinners? And they said, we need to get rid of this sin in my life. As a matter of fact, I can think of Peter the Apostle. He said, he met Jesus Christ and he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He saw himself as a sinner. I'm thinking about Zacchaeus in Luke chapter number 19. We've all sung the song as a young person. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree, for I'm going to abide with you today. I'm going to go to your house, Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a thief. He was a liar. He was dishonest. And Jesus Christ met that man. And he talked to Zacchaeus, and after he got done talking to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus says, Lord, behold, half of my goods I go to feed the poor. I'm going to pay back what I've been stealing. I'm going to start doing right. If I have taken anything by false accusations, look, Lord, I am going to give it back fourfold. I'm giving it back. You know what the response was of Jesus Christ after he heard those words from Zacchaeus? He said, this day is salvation come to this house. Zacchaeus, I see a change of heart right here. And I see a change of mind. And you want to make right what you've been doing wrong? And to boot, you are a son of Abraham, but salvation has come to your house. And he ends up with these things. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Those who meet Jesus Christ get rid of the sin out of their life. Amen. They get it out. You know why? Zacchaeus had met the sinless one. He had met the Holy One. And when you meet the Holy One, you want to get the sin out. I didn't say you were sinless, but I said you'll want to get the sin out of your life. Because you met Jesus Christ. You got to say no to sin because it's against your Savior, Jesus Christ. And those who know Jesus endeavor to get the sin out. You got to say no to sin because it's against your Savior. We must not only say no to sin because it's against Jesus Christ. We got to say no to sin because sin originates with the devil. That's where sin comes from. It comes from the devil. We find that in verse number 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Watch the words. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. It says, he committeth sin. That's a present tense word. All the time. Don't stop. Keep going. Don't repent. Keep on sinning all the time. You're rebelling against God, and there is no confession. There is no contrition. You keep on going. Committing sin. Make habitual practice out of it all the time, and you don't repent. He that committeth sin is of the devil. You know what that means? That means you don't know God. God's not your father. The devil's your father. You haven't been born from above. You have not been born again. You have to say no to sin because sin is of the devil. And he goes on to say, because the devil sinneth from the beginning. Another present tense word right there. Sinneth from the beginning. Did you know the devil never stops sinning? He's always sinning, he's always rebelling, and he enjoys it, and he doesn't care. He keeps on going. He's going to rebel against God until the day that he gets thrown into the lake of fire. And he's not going to repent. Do you know his kids do the same thing? His children do the same thing? They keep on sinning, they keep on going, and they never, never repent. They don't fight against it. They don't try to stop. They just keep going. We got to say no to sin because sin is of the devil. We see the origin of sin, the beginning of sin. Do you know that the devil was the original rebel? He was the first one to sin. We find that in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, thou son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend into the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I. He's rebelling against God. Did you notice where that sin started? He said in his heart. That's where it started, right there. Even before he did anything. He just thought about it and said, I will do this. Do you know that's where sin starts at? It starts right there in your heart. And then it manifests itself out in the deeds that you do. But the devil is the original rebel. The devil is the original sinner. The devil is the father of all rebels. We find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, children of wrath. The devil's got some children, and they don't stop sinning. They just keep on sinning. That characterizes their life every day, all the time, and they don't stop. The devil has his own kingdom. Job chapter 41, verse 34, he beholdeth all high things. He's king over all the children of pride. You know why? Pride was his original sin. What about all the pride marches in the United States of America? He's king over all the children of pride. And they keep on going. They don't stop. We got to say no to sin because sin is of the devil. The devil has a goal. The devil's against Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Devil's against God. Devil's against righteousness. Devil wants you to rebel against God. The devil incites rebellion against the authority of God. Devil has his own kingdom. He has his own souls. He has his own children. And he desires for us to sin against God. That's what he wants us to do. But Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. There comes Jesus Christ, and he takes us out of the devil's kingdom. We were in under the power of darkness. We were in the devil's kingdom, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Took us out of darkness, put us into light, made us his own. We are now the children of the light, children of God. Jesus fights against the devil. He binds the strong man. He defeats the works of the devil. And he does it through the blood of his cross. That's how he defeated the devil. Through the cross. You and I as Christians have no business engaging in sin because it finds its roots in the devil. We've got to say no to sin. Napoleon Bonaparte one day was standing with a staff of officers around him, and he had a huge, large map of the world on a table before him, puts his finger on a kingdom and said to them, Messieurs, if it were not for that red spot, I could conquer the world. You know what that was? That was the British Isles. He didn't get that one. You know what? Satan might place a huge map of the universe, look at it, put his finger on one red spot, and if it says, if it wasn't for that one red spot, I could have conquered the universe. I could have had it. But he didn't because of one red spot. You know where it was? It was on Golgotha. It was on Calvary. It was that blood that was shed for your soul and for my soul. And that's the only thing that stopped the devil from getting the universe. That's it. The blood that was shed, Jesus Christ. Whose army are you in? Who are you fighting for? You and I must say no to sin because we're in the Lord's army. The Lord Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. And we have no business messing around with sin. We must say no to sin. We We must say no to sin, not only because it's against Christ and because it comes from the devil, but because we have been born again. We've been born again. We find that in verses 9 to 10. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So sin does not define the life of the child of God, because why? A new nature has been implanted into him. He has a new nature. He has been born of God, and that changes your life and my life. Do you notice the word whosoever? Whosoever. There's the famous whosoever word in the Scriptures. There are many whosoever statements in Scripture. And can I tell you this evening that whosoever statements are exclusive statements. It's found 185 times in the Scriptures. And whosoever always comes with a qualifier. Always comes with a qualifier. It's not an open-ended statement. Whosoever always follows with something else. We'll find that in John 3:16. Whosoever what? Believe it. You know there's a flip side to that too. Revelation 20:15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is a lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. And there's a lot of whosoever's in there. Which whosoever are you going to be? The one in heaven or the one in hell? But he says, whosoever is born of God, you've been given a birth from above. You've been given a new birth. You've been given a new nature. Of course, he parallels this in John chapter number 3 in his gospel, talking about Nicodemus. Jesus Christ said, look, you got to be born again. You have to be born into it. You can't work your way. You can't will your way into it. You can't do that. You must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, but thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You got to be born of the Spirit. You must be born again. You can't work your way there. You can't do it. That's what the whole world needs. The whole world needs to be born again. The whole world needs a new birth. They need a change of heart. They need a change of nature. Do you know that the new birth is not some kind of neutral phenomenon? It's not some kind of paper doctrine that, well, there's the new birth and, you know, it's not some kind of little nice thing that we can say that sounds good. It's a real thing. The new birth is a real thing that God really does, that He really does for His children. He gives them a new birth. It's a real reality that affects you right now today. What does it accomplish? Does the new birth accomplish anything? You ever thought about that? The new birth accomplishes righteousness in the child of God, because it says he doth not commit sin. It affects the way you live. You fight against sin. You start living right. Why? Because of that new nature. Sin doesn't characterize your life anymore. Your life is not ruled by sin anymore. It's not a staple in your life. That's what the new birth does. And praise God for that. Praise God for the new birth. Praise God for that. We don't continue to live in sin. Why? Something stays. Something stays there. He says, your seed remains in you. It doesn't leave. You know, when we remain somewhere, we don't leave, do we? Sticking power. That's what John says here. He says, his seed remains. It never leaves. You got a new birth on the inside. You got a new man on the inside. And he's never going to leave you, and he's never going to forsake you, and he's always going to be working, he's always going to be convicting you, he's always going to be leading you, and he's always going to be guiding you. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That new nature on the inside, it's holy, it's just, it's pure. And it works on the inside of us. Helps us to fight against sin. That's why we got to say no to sin. Hey, I've been born again. I am a child of God. I have no business trifling around with sin. You got to say no to sin, because that new man on the inside opposes sin. He checks sin. He convicts you of sin, and he brings forth the fruits of righteousness in your life. He does that. He gives you that self-control to where you're not going to be ruled by sin anymore. You have a way to combat it. You have a way to fight against it. Jesus Christ remains in the believer. He never leaves. Jesus Christ was speaking to the Pharisees in John chapter number 8. He says, whosoever committeth sin, there's that present tense word again, committeth sin is the servant of sin, enslaved to sin. He says, but the Son will make you free, and he never leaves. He abides forever. What does the world need? The world needs the new man. The world needs Jesus Christ. He sets us free by his continuous indwelling in us. He never leaves. He never forsakes us. He remains. That's why we must say no to sin. We've read about how Jesus Christ has been manifested and why he was manifested to take away sin from us, to defeat the works of the devil. And he did all of that on the cross. He defeated the works of the devil on the cross. And he does it today in the life of every believer through the new birth. And now our continual, habitual choices manifest ourselves to the world, what they see of Christianity, how we live our lives, the choices that we make. What choice are you going to make when faced with sin? Are you going to say no? Just say no to sin? Or are you going to give in? You know, Joshua came down to a point with the children of Israel in Joshua chapter number 24. And he says, you guys got to make a choice. What are you going to do? You going to serve the Lord? Or are you going to serve the false gods from over on the other side of the flood? Choose you this day whom you will serve. What choice are you going to make? And they chose to serve the Lord. What are you going to choose when faced with sin? You're going to choose to say no? I hope that you do. By God's grace and by God's power, we can. Amen. We can. Yes, all right, we're not going to have an invitation this evening.